The stuff we're talking about right now, our fans are actually going to hear before they hear this.
Okay.
Are you making a note right now, Pod Vader, to have this be the part that you put in the beginning?
You in the
06010, and that's Eric Hutchinson playing our beloved theme song, Jay. Yesterday, we had our first softball scrimmage of the year, and I can't tell you how many of the softball players were complimenting the theme song, singing the theme song when I was up at bat. It was an honor. Got to be a little bit annoying, but that's not Eric Hutchinson's fault.
So what you're saying is you had your own walk-up music.
Basically, yeah.
Interesting.
Basically, people were humming and singing along the Fantasy Focus theme song as I was walking to the plate and singing swinging the bat. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, it's Friday. Matthew's not here, and yet it is still Phone-In Friday.
Yeah, not ready with that one.
Wow. You'd think on Fridays, of all days, you'd be ready with that one. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003.
It's going to take a while.
Really? Okay. Well, then I'm not going to count it down. Well, on the phone right now is ESPN.com writer Tristan Cockcroft. Tristan, welcome to the show.
How's it going? I should have taken 5 minutes to say hi.
You really should have.
I know.
hey, man. So big stuff from you this year. This year, you are, I don't know what happened in the off season, but somehow you got roped into being the guy that writes not only Fantasy Forecaster each and every week that preps you for the following week, that comes out today, but the 60 feet 6 inches column, the relief efforts column, and the hit parade column. Well, there you go. You're most certainly not phoning in the rest of your job.
I'm taking my time to answer that one.
Oh, okay. I got you.
It needed a break from it, but yeah, I don't know. I must be crazy about these rankings. All I know is I'm getting really familiar with Excel.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, as geeky as it gets right now.
let's be honest. You were already pretty familiar with Excel.
Yeah, pretty familiar, but now I've got like a million spreadsheets sitting on the computer. It's, yeah.
There you go. Once again, let me congratulate you for, ripping apart all the stereotypes about fantasy baseball players being geeks. I appreciate that.
Oh, no problem. always happy to help.
Hey, a quietly eventful night, I think, in Major League Baseball last night, so let's get right to it. All right, Tristan, first of all, our friend, our editor, Pierre Biquet, his beloved Aaron Hill, out with tightness in his hamstring. Last night, Mike McCoy batted leadoff, and I'll confess, I'm not sure I knew who Mike McCoy was until an hour ago.
Well, now we know who he is. I mean, I actually had to look him up myself, I'll admit, and decent speed, decent on-base guy. I don't really see any long-term future because he's kind of a minor league journeyman. What is he, 29 years old?
Something like that.
I hope Aaron Hill doesn't miss much time. I'm a fan.
And I don't think he's going to. Let's rip through a couple of guys that won't miss much time, and then we'll get to the guys that will. Jeff Niemann hitting the shoulder by a line drive yesterday. The Rays are saying they think he'll be okay. If he were to miss a start, probably Andy Sonnenstein, who came in and replaced him yesterday, would replace him in the rotation. It took all of 4 days, Tristan, into the season, for Chipper Jones to become day-to-day.
Shocking, huh?
With the right side, I guess that's an oblique. He says he may miss the Braves next series. Obviously, that's this weekend. In which case, Omar Infante would be the guy. And, you know, Infante was drafted in a lot of leagues for his versatility and actually played well before he got hurt last year. So, actually a guy that can be useful.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a bad guy to have in NL-only leagues. I mean, the deep ones. Weren't we looking at him in the late rounds and things like Tout and Labor?
Yep.
I mean, he doesn't hurt you in batting average. And you got to like guys like that with multiple positions.
You and I are actually competing in Tout and Labor. I basically have decided this year, you know, I'm going to set my moves each week, but I'm not even going to look at the standings for the first 3 weeks. Like, literally not even look at them.
Wow, you're being even less patient than I am. I usually don't look until at least May.
Oh, okay.
I was going to tell you, though, I'm in a solid 4th, 5th, 6th place in all my leagues. I'm very concerned already.
Well, then you have been looking, apparently.
I know. Well, you can't help it on the first day.
You can avoid looking at the standings.
Well, not if they get emailed to you.
Oh, well,
Then I turn them off after the first day.
I guess that's true. The Rangers put catcher Jared Saltomachia on the DL with a back injury. This is another shocker. Nobody saw Jared Saltomachia, that bastion of health. Nobody saw this coming. Looks like Taylor Teagarden will be their everyday catcher for now. In mixed leagues, do you like him at all?
In mixed leagues, no, unless you're in a two-catcher league, and even then I'm going to be playing matchups with him at best. I think he's a guy who's going to hurt your batting average. The one thing about this move, I was really disappointed Max Ramirez didn't get the call.
Yeah, you and Eric Carabel, who wrote in his insider blog all about Max Ramirez yesterday.
Big surprise, because Eric's the guy who usually steals Max Ramirez from me in Omar Sim drafts.
Okay. So, but Teagarden, you don't see much usefulness for?
I think he's going to have matchups value. I mean, if he's at home, I'd probably play him as a number two in the favorable weeks. But you know me, I play the matchups guys on most weeks. I don't see him as an every game kind of guy.
You know, I think a lot of people see the Rangers and say this is the preseason. Well, they got three talented catchers, and we don't know which one's going to play. I think they have three bad catchers, and it doesn't matter which one plays. So, with all due respect to your beloved Max Ramirez, you and Eric Carabel.
You call Max Ramirez a bad third catcher? I think Matt Trainor's the bad third catcher.
I'm not saying he's a bad third catcher. I'm saying he's a bad first catcher. I think some people are like, well, they've got three talented kids, and they don't know which one they're going to play. I think they have three guys that aren't very good, and they don't know which one's going to play.
Yeah, I could see them being pretty overrated, but, you know,
Beat out Jared Saltomachia, you're not very good. I'm sorry.
Look, Max Ramirez has problems defensively. I think he's a DH first baseman. You know what he is? He's Ryan Garko and Chris Shelton. And yeah, Ryan Garko and Chris Shelton haven't done a ton for you, but there's a little value in them. You know, they've had brief hot streaks.
Fair enough. In other Rangers news, I want to talk about a bunch of surprising pitchers from yesterday, because there were a lot of them. C.J. Wilson goes 7 scoreless innings with 9 strikeouts and 2 walks. Now, I don't know what you thought, Tristan, but I know coming into the year, I looked at a guy that had been mediocre as a reliever and thought, yeah, I don't think there's much hope here for him as a starter.
I kind of agreed. I questioned whether he could hold up over the length of the season, but I said you should probably stash him on a bench, and now it's pretty darn clear. Did you watch any of this game?
I did not, actually.
He, you know, there was a great stat note that we got overnight about his ability to change speeds, and I watched this game. He looked very impressive. He was keeping people off balance the whole game. Very impressive.
Okay, so you buy him. His next start is at Cleveland.
I'd start him for it.
Really?
He will be in the rankings for Forecaster, yes.
In ESPN Standard Leagues, you would start him?
Yes, I would.
How long before he gets consideration to make your 60 feet rankings of the top 100 starting pitchers?
He might very well make the next one. I mean, he's probably going to be on the lower end. I do think there's times you're not going to want to use him, but I do think you have to take him seriously now.
What about Mr. One-Time Serious Fantasy Player Dontrell Willis, who went 6 innings, 7 hits, 4 strikeouts, 2 earned runs?
I'm a little iffier on him, and I don't think he's going to make the rankings.
All right.
Hey, I love Dontrell. He was a great story. I was back down there the year he came up in the minors, and it was quite a story. Very impressive kid, but the control is just not there for him. For any given day, he can come out, and he might hit the backstop on his first pitch. I worry that at any moment that story is going to just fizzle.
I tend to agree with you, although I will say next start scheduled to be at home against the Kansas City Royals. If you were going to roll the dice, that would be the spot to do it.
Certainly. Yeah, if you're in a deep enough league.
Dontrell's former teammate, Nate Robertson, makes his debut with the Marlins. 5 innings, 6 hits, 4 strikeouts, no walks. What about Mr. Robertson?
Well, you know, he capitalized on that Mets matchup at that ballpark of theirs, and, you know, that's just an easy one. I'm kidding a little
bit.
I got you.
Move along.
Matchup guy. I'm not a big Nate Robertson fan, I admit.
I'm going to disagree with you on this one. I think there's something here for NL-only leagues. I think there's something here. I mean, this was a guy that in the spring, it pitched very well in the spring. I got to look up his Detroit stats now because I just realized they wouldn't all be with Florida. 6 strikeouts, 1 walk in his one preseason start with the Marlins and with the Tigers. Let's see here.
I look at the previous years where he had the 5-plus ERAs with the
Tigers.
Yeah,
but,
I worry.
The one thing that I put stock in the preseason is control and dominance for pitchers, particularly control.
Yes.
I think if a guy goes out there and over the course of, 20, 30 spring innings only has a couple of walks, which, okay, I can't find his stats now because they don't have him anymore
It's demonstrating that the rookies in the last go kind of spring. We had one walk, 21 Ks, and 22 innings, I think it was. That's the kind of thing you're talking about. Yes, those are the spring stats that matter if you're going to pick anything.
Right. And I really think they do. And going to the National League, playing in a pitcher's ballpark, in a division with some other pitcher's ballparks. I've got an NL-only draft tonight, and I'll be looking to get Nate Robertson for less than $5. I think he'll be worth every penny.
If it's an NL league and it's under $5, I get it, because that still falls into the matchups territory I'm talking about. But you're never going to use him in Philly, I don't think, are you?
In an NL-only league, you pretty much just, generally speaking, you put the guy in and you leave him there, and you have to take the bad starts when they come. But no, I get your point. You wouldn't want to if you could avoid it.
Right. And I mean, I try to do everything I can to avoid those bad matchups. He's the kind of guy that I say, be real careful of them.
All right, so those are guys for much deeper leagues. What about, guys that you would consider for 10-team standard leagues? Brad Penny yesterday, 7 innings, 6 hits, 1 earned run, 4 strikeouts, 2 walks. And I'll tell you what, I drafted him in a bunch of leagues and benched him this week just on the, hey, you know what, I like him this year, but I don't know that at Cincinnati is where I really want to get my first look at him. So what do you think about Mr. Penny going forward?
Yeah, I probably would have benched him too, especially in a shallow league, but it's the Dave Duncan thing. Why do you think people liked him in the preseason?
Absolutely.
Not as good in the spring as I thought. You looked at the numbers, I'm sure, with him.
Yeah, he really wasn't.
He was not impressive, but hey, he, the thing about him was he didn't get a lot of strikeouts. He wasn't too dominant in this, but he threw strikes.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to be a dominant pitcher. Where it's going to show up for him, if, quote, the Dave Duncan thing takes hold, is going to be, inducing a lot of ground balls with that defense. They've got a pretty good defense behind him. It's a little shaky depending on who's at third base, but Brendan Ryan, a really good shortstop. Obviously, Pujols, the best first baseman in the game. Schumacher's mediocre at best at second, but overall, it's a pretty good defense. Yesterday, induced 13 ground balls, 4 fly balls, so that's kind of what you want to see.
Absolutely, yeah, and I do think he's going to keep it. I agree. I think if you're picking him, you're targeting wins and ERA. You're not really targeting Ks.
Right.
The whip should be fine. I mean, it's the Joel Pinero syndrome. I mean, that's what you're going for. You're taking a chance the ERA is good and he gets lucky.
Yeah. Next start will be at home against the Houston Astros, so I like that start.
Absolutely.
Quite a bit. Andre Ethier sits out for the Dodgers last night with an ankle sprain. Don't know what his status is going to be for this weekend. Both Reed Johnson and Garrett Anderson played yesterday. But just a heads up, if Ethier's out this weekend, 3 straight right-handed pitchers that the Dodgers are facing against the Florida Marlins this weekend. So you'd have to think Garrett Anderson would be the guy for at least 2 of those games.
Definitely agreed on that. I mean, I think he's supposed to play on Friday, if I remember reading that report correctly.
Garrett Anderson?
Garrett Anderson, yeah.
It would make sense. Delwin Young, a player I liked a lot, took in some deep mix, took in some NL-only, gets a start in right field yesterday for the Pirates. A nice game, 2 hits. They moved Garrett Jones over to first base. And in the short term, whatever, it's just a game. They're trying to get him in. But in the long term, do you think Jeff Clement's going to hit enough to keep the first base job?
I think he probably will, but I don't know that he's ever going to be an everyday kind of guy. I actually think Gabby Sanchez is the kind of guy that has a better chance at holding down his job than Clement on an everyday basis.
I agree with that. And the thing about Clement is I think he's... I don't think he's going to hit well enough to keep the job, and I think in a best-case scenario, it's what you described. It's more of a platoon type, not every day. And I think Delwin Young's going to get 350 or 400 at-bats on that team this year.
Well, last year, I really do. Last year, 354 at-bats. And I'll tell you, as a guy who had him in a couple leagues when I had injuries and was desperate, especially at middle infield, plugging him in, he had a couple hot streaks. So you can't discard him in NL only.
No, I think he's improving. We've talked about this in practically every show, but you haven't been here, so I want to get your take. Mike Napoli, yet again, not in the starting lineup for the Angels. And those that drafted him, Matthew keeps saying at the end of the year it's going to be 20 home runs, it's going to be 20 home runs. I tend to agree with him, but at some point, you can't blame his owners, particularly in 10-team mixed leagues, if they go in another direction.
It's maddening because Napoli's the kind of bat you want in a lineup, but it seems like the Angels don't care about Jeff Mathis making instant outs. They just like his defense and how he handles the pitching staff better. I like Napoli a lot, but he's not going to get you 500-plus at-bats. It's a shame, but he's not.
But he hasn't needed that, right? I mean, the last couple of years he's been at like 350 and still hit 20 home runs.
But imagine what he would do if he had got that. That's the thing. I think people are expecting a huge upside in the fact he could get to 30 homers. I like him for what he is. He's definitely a starter for fantasy, but he's not going to be a top 10 with top 5 potential at catcher because he's not playing enough.
So if you had him in a 10-team ESPN Standard League with one catcher, you'd be dropping him?
No, I think he's going to be like your last active catcher at best. I think he's going to be the kind of guy who you probably sit, you know, on certain weeks where you like somebody else better. I think he's barely startable.
Yeah, but you know what? And with those only three bench spots, I don't think you have the luxury of sitting a catcher. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
like, I think you're cutting a catcher.
I can see it. I mean, you know, he's going to be the guy who bounces back and forth. I've got him on one team where he's my DH, and I benched him this week. But, I mean, it's more than three bench spots. It gives you an example of where the cutoff is.
I think in a standard league right now, you've got to cut him for the likes of Kurt Suzuki, A.J. Pierzynski, all guys that are outside of the top 10. Last thing for me, just really, really, really super deep closer candidates, Andrew, I just called you Andrew, I have no idea why I did that. Tristan, if people are in NO only or A only, really deep, especially keeper league drafts this weekend. A lot of keeper leagues have their drafts the first weekend after the regular season. Do you have any drafts left?
No, I'm actually done. I don't have any that start after opening day, not this year.
I've got one today. I know Matthew Berry's got two this weekend. I know our colleagues Pierre Bacan and Keith Lipscomb both have drafts this weekend. And two guys I wanted to highlight. One, you've heard me talk about a lot. You know where I'm going with this?
I am curious where you're going with this, because I know the guy we keep talking about this week.
It's this Malin Caridad.
All right.
You and I were in three or four different leagues together this year, and I got him in all of them.
And how many times did I comment to you? I'm like, I should have known.
Every time.
I should have known.
So, you know, pitches into the seventh and eighth innings last night, not quite a perfect inning, gives up a hit. But everybody else in that bullpen is looking really, really rough. So I think he's going to work. He's going to be the eighth inning guy eventually, and we'll see if Mr. Marmol can hold on to his job.
You know what kills me? I've got a keeper league where somebody just picked him up yesterday, and I can't believe I didn't think of it first. I'm very disappointed in myself. I like him. I do think he's a serious eighth inning guy. Serious.
And then really, really weird, bizarre name. Sergio Santos pitches the seventh inning, perfect seventh inning for the White Sox last night. Did you see his spring numbers?
I did not, but I did hear about the debut.
So 10 and a third inning, 16 strikeouts, did have 7 walks this spring, but he's a converted shortstop. He was a shortstop prospect, I think, for Arizona, right?
He's the Diamondbacks dude. That's right.
It's the same guy. He was a first-round pick, 27th overall in 2002 by the Diamondbacks. Anyway, you know, it's a deep bullpen, and everybody's worried about Jenks, and everybody's talking about Matt Thornton and J.J. Putz and Scott Linebrink. But anyway, here's a really interesting guy that you can get. If you've got a deep bench in an AO-only league, especially a keeper league, this is the only place this matters, for a buck. I stash him away because really has, you know, obviously shortstop's got a good arm, right?
Yeah, that's probably why they switched him.
16 strikeouts and 10 and two-thirds innings, even in the spring, for a project guy is no joke.
Have you looked at the minor league stats last year, though? I looked at those and I'm like, oh, man, should we be recommending him?
I know
what you mean.
He's a project, right? How long's he been a pitcher? A year?
1 year, yeah, according to this.
Well, and exactly. So, I mean,
this is the interesting thing. A plus, AA. They advanced him quickly, no matter the fact he wasn't doing all that well in the results.
Well, you saw the same thing with Rick Ankiel, right? If you're going to take a guy late in his career and switch positions, you're going to have to move him along, or it's not even going to be worth it.
He's 25 years old. He's got little time. It's interesting how quickly they are moving him. I'll give you that.
So that's all. Just a very, very deep. That's really, I'll be honest, Tristan, just so if he becomes a closer someday, we can say, we told you so.
Just getting the game out there early. What?
Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
Well, I said it before, and I'm going to say it again.
Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
I find a little weird I have to ask twice.
Burr.
Anthony in Kingston, Pennsylvania, a longtime listener and emailer of the podcast, says, first off, I feel terrible for both Tristan and Pod, who have had to sit through Nate's weasel-like tactics, which have happened during this podcast. I know I haven't listened yet, but I'm sure they will happen because Nate is riding his high horse proudly with the absence of the greatest, Matthew Berry. Wow. We'll see if you get your email read again there, Anthony. Anywho, this is for Tristan. Which young stud will have a better season this year, Matt Latos or Wade Davis? Both are available in my league. I'm trying to figure out which one to grab.
interesting take because the circumstances are different. You'd think Latos is the one who has an easier chance to succeed. I would take Wade Davis. I do think he stays in the rotation. I think they give him run support, better chance of wins. I know he's got the Red Sox and Yankees, but I think that's overrated. Just because he faced them 18 times apiece as a team doesn't mean he's going to be starting 12 times against those teams.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that logic at the end there, but I got to go with Matt Latos here.
And why is that?
I think he's actually better. I think he has better pure skills and better ballpark. So, you know, if you want to evaluate the main things being skills, offensive support, ballpark, and opposition, I think Latos has three of the four over Davis.
I'll give you an important note on the two of them. I think Latos is a cap of innings around 160, 170. Wade Davis threw 190 last year, over 190 between the majors and minors.
That could be, although in a league where both are available, you can probably just ride out ride out either one of them and then get somebody else. But
That is true.
But fair point. Ronan from Ireland says, "Hi, Nate, Tristan, and Jay. I play in a league which uses six pitching categories, including holds. So I was delighted to read Tristan's latest relief efforts article projecting the holds leaders for every team." I didn't even know you did that.
Yeah, that was yesterday's relief efforts.
Let me look.
It came out late, don't worry.
Let me look through here yet. Okay. So you've projected George Sherrill to lead the majors in holds with 34, followed by Rafael Betancourt at 31, Mike Adams at 30, Peter Moreland, Scott Downs, Sergio Romo, Kyle McClellan, Arthur Rhodes, Jeremy Affeldt, Pedro Feliciano.
And don't forget every team's leaders projected too.
But you think, yeah, and you got that too. But, I mean, isn't this a little bit of a fool's errand, projecting holds?
Oh, yeah. There's no question. I mean, you know, they are even harder to predict than saves. I will give you that. But, I mean, the main thing is you've got to target who are the clear, designated setup men.
Yeah. I mean, when I'm going through, you do have each team projected. And when I look at your last year, there's so many guys from the last year list that were not on anybody's radar at the start of the year. You know, like, for looking at Colorado, you know, you've got Matt Daly, Detroit, Bobby Say, Kansas City Royals, Jamie Wright. Actually, the Royals and the Angels are the best two. Jamie Wright and Darren Oliver sort of tells you all you need to know about holds.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at the number, too. I should actually put in the numbers.
They were pretty low on some of these cases.
Jamie Wright was 15, I think.
For the Dodgers, Ramon Troncoso, the Yankees, Phil Koch. So, and by the way, as we're talking about these, you know, deeper type relievers, you know, somebody like a Santos, somebody like a Caridad, even if they never become the closer, they could be the types of guys that end up really high on the list of holds for that team. I think Caridad will be. If he doesn't get the closer job, I'll bet he's in the top 20 in the majors in holds.
I could absolutely see that. And the main reason I picked John Graybo over him is just that Graybo is going to get those situational chances. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is face one batter, get him out, and you're going to get a hold.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Caridad's a one-inning guy. Oh, by the way, this gives you a chance to talk about your little sleeper here for the Giants, because I did consider him.
Well, this is not my sleeper. This is Jason Gray's sleeper. Jason Gray, Dan Runsler. I just listened to him and picked him up in, like, every league.
You just drafted in about 20 leagues.
Yeah, Dan Runsler, who was lights out this spring, and according to Jason, really, really won over manager Bruce Bochy and could work his way into the eighth inning job.
I could completely see. There's three guys who could do that.
Yeah.
Three really good setup men there.
Affeldt, Romo, and Runsler.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Ronan from Ireland says, who does Tristan prefer between Alfredo Aceves and David Robertson?
This is just for holds?
No. 6x6 in general, with holds being the sixth category.
That's the thing. I noted that I could completely see David Robertson leading that team in holds. Alfredo Aceves has got to be the pick. And the main thing is the Yankees bring him in. They're confident when the game is tied. That win thing last year, fluke or not, they're going to give him a chance to get 6, 7, 8 wins.
Right.
He's going to get you that. He's going to pitch enough innings to make the ERA and the whip count. And, you know, I think the guy's talented. I really do.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And I know Matthew does as well. Andy from L.A. says, "Dear Fantasy Chinchillas, this is a new thing, Tristan, where people liken us to various animals. I don't know why."
Nope, I don't want to know what I'm likened to.
He says, "I'm liking these little clips from the podcast that Pod Vader's putting in during Hutch's ridiculously catchy open theme." So we've got this new, you know, theme song, Tristan, and at the beginning, Pod Vader's been putting in clips of the actual show. So stuff we're talking about right now, our fans are actually going to hear before they hear this.
Okay.
Are you making a note right now, Pod Vader, to have this be the part that you put in the beginning?
That's factually correct.
Okay. That's going to lead to some sort of, like, you know, crazy circle where, I don't know, The whole universe
is it's like
explode.
A Lost episode.
I don't watch that show.
Just trust me then.
All right. Well, anyway, he wants to know, Andy from L.A. wants to know, standard 12-team league, he's weak at second base. There's a guy with Aaron Hill who wants to trade for a closer. I have Mike Gonzalez and Andrew Bailey, plus Lidge and Street on the DL. Do you think any of them are the right value for this trade?
If you're going to make that deal, I think the only guy that's going to fetch you Aaron Hill is Andrew Bailey. But right now, maybe Aaron Hill's owner is fretting the fact that he's injured and possibly you could get him cheaper.
Yeah, you're not getting him for Lidge or Street, but I think you could get him for Mike Gonzalez, and I think that's a pretty good, I think that's a pretty fair deal, and I think I would do that if you really need a second
baseman. I don't
know
about that.
No?
You really think so? No, this is the thing with it. I mean, if Gonzalez was the kind of guy who didn't have all those velocity questions from spring training, I think people would be more confident. But he blew the save on opening day, and I think that's going to make people equally scared.
Oh, so you're saying it won't get the job done?
Right. Now, if it did, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Okay. Hey, so speaking of random new drops on the show, I don't know. You probably didn't listen to the show yesterday, Tristan.
No, I heard the one 2 days ago.
But we have a brand new drop in honor of, the guy, the young kid that we've tried to establish a new nickname for, Jason Hayward.
Unleash the Kraken!
What do you think?
So Hayward's the Kraken?
He's the Kraken. But we have an email here from Tom who says, release the Kraken. He says, I love the new Hayward nickname. However, the correct phrase is release the Kraken, not unleash the Kraken like TMR say.
I think that's correct,
I can't say I'm surprised you screwed it up. Well, but, I mean, so what do you think now? I think we just stick with unleash.
I believe we stick with unleash the Kraken as well.
And it, not just because it's more work for Pod Vader?
No, exactly why, because it's more work for Pod Vader.
Unleash the Kraken!
I'll give you this. I'll defend it for you. If you use release, people are going to think, drop Jason Hayward.
Yeah, exactly. We don't want people to... That's exactly why we did it in the first place.
We justified it. There you go.
That was exactly the reason. Tom also wants to know, I recently drafted Garrett Jones in a keeper league. As far as I can tell, the young man does not have a catchy nickname that I can employ to strike fear into the hearts of mere mortals. I think we'll have a huge year... So he wants us to come up with a nickname for Garrett Jones.
He has one. I just read it on one of the Twitter things for the Pirates. I'm trying to remember what it was, though.
All right.
He does. He absolutely has one.
That was almost useful, what you just said.
I know. I wish I could remember it.
All right. Jeff in... Oh, it's good old Jeff, Pod Vader, from Canandaigua, New York.
What about Jeff in Canandaigua? What are you waiting for?
I don't know. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right.
Oh, who knows? Who cares?
All right.
Except for the people that live in Canandaigua.
Canandaigua. Dear Fantasy Spuds, I'm wondering if you could rank these pitchers for me. Fausto, let's just do this like a name game.
Well, I have a new one here from Weasley Bryant.
A new name game drop. Let's hear it. The name game.
It's time for Laporta LaLaunch.
We drank Troy Tulowitzki's bathwater.
Your wazoo should be full.
Yes.
And then there should be outfielders waiting to get into the wazoo.
All bets involve White Sox players.
Nameless complaint.
Manny Ramirez's injury is his female fertility drug.
Imagine sounds like he needs a cardotherapist.
I'm no hydrocarditist.
I like the winged beast.
I am pro-jobbing the Jayhawk.
Unleash the Kraken!
Very nicely done, Weasley Bryan.
Yeah, that's his second one.
And there's some brand new things in there.
Yeah.
Like the, first of all, the doctor things, but the one about the wazoo was like from Tuesday's show, I think.
Yeah.
That's very impressive. All right, Tristan, Fausto Carmona or Wade Davis?
Wade Davis.
I agree. Wade Davis or Jeff Niemann?
Wade Davis. To higher upside. Similar talent.
Wade Davis or Clay Buchholz?
I'm going to go Clay Buchholz.
I'm going to agree with you. When's his first start? Today?
I believe. Isn't he the one pushed back to Sunday against KC?
That could be. That sounds right. Pod Vader, do you know you're a Red Sox fan?
I do not know.
Are you optimistic about the Clay Buchholz this year, Pod?
I have no choice but to be.
Okay.
I'd like to know the Yankee fan knows the rotation for the next 2 weeks.
They are playing. he is scheduled to pitch at Kansas City on Sunday. And following that, he will be pitching. Well, it depends on whether or not they skip him, because they'll have the opportunity to. He could be pitching at home against Tampa Bay the following Saturday. It'll either be Tampa Bay Saturday or Tampa Bay Monday, one of the two. So, Clay Buchholz or Sean Markham?
Still Buchholz, but I'm starting to buy in on Markham.
I agree with you on both counts. I think it's very, very close. Hey, give us a quick pitch on Fantasy Forecaster coming out later today on ESPN.com.
All right. Well, I'm going to go straight to my little pitching matchups tab, so you'll have to give me 1 second.
No, you don't have to tell me what's in it. Just tell me.
Oh, I can't give you a tease for a player?
Oh, sure. Go for it.
All right. We'll find one real interesting two-start pitcher I like on here, and it's one of my favorite sleepers who's going to be very highly ranked. Probably a top 10 coming off a good start yesterday. That would be Brett Anderson.
Okay. But don't you think anybody that's got Brett Anderson is playing him no matter what?
I think they are, but I think this is the kind of guy who's going to carry your team for week two.
All right. Fair enough.
I do think he's going to rival almost anyone else out there.
Fair enough. And we want to thank you because I understand you're the one that came up with these hitter and pitcher matchups or ratings for daily notes.
Yeah, with the 40 megabyte file that crashes everybody's computer. Yeah, based on...
It doesn't crash the user's computer. It crashes our fantasy editor's computers. I don't want you to get our users worried about their computers crashing.
No, that's a good point, yeah. It does crash our computers, so we're the ones who go through the trouble for you.
There you go. All right, so Tristan Cockcroft, the writer of 60 Feet 6 Inches, Relief Efforts, Fantasy Forecaster, and Hit Parade on ESPN.com. We work him into the ground. All for you, the fans.
By the way,
yeah,
I have Googled Garrett Jones' nickname.
All right.
Pirates broadcasters are calling him Bam Bam.
Bam Bam.
That's right, yep. Yep.
I don't know how I feel about
that. I like Bam Bam more with somebody's name that has a B in it, like Bam Bam Bigelow.
Right.
Or Bam Bam Mullins.
Yeah, Bam Bam Jones.
No, not...
Doesn't really work.
No. I you know what? I'm going to officially decline the Pirates broadcasters' efforts to make that his nickname. We're going to come up with something different. Send in your nickname ideas for Garrett Jones of the Pittsburgh Pirates to Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
And Garrett Jones, the Counting Crows. Doesn't work.
What?
The Counting Crows for Mr. Jones.
You're reaching for the Mr. Jones here, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah, that's a reach, dude. Send those ideas in to FantasyFocus at ESPNRadio.com, and Matthew and I will pick out the best one next week, and that'll be his nickname, and that'll be the end of it. All right?
And then we'll make a drop for it as well?
Exactly, and that'll be the end of it. So, for Tristan Cockcroft, Jay Soderberg, and the Kraken...
Unleash the Kraken!
Who you absolutely should not release under any circumstances. I'm Nate. We'll see you next week.
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more baseball talk, be sure to check out Baseball Tonight, Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.